A timeline for California's stay-at-home orders? The governor says ask him in 2 weeks.
I know you want the timeline, but we can't get ahead of ourselves and dream of regretting.
Stand by for a Cap Radio news special. I'm Beth Ruyak in Sacramento. We'll talk about the next COVID-19 phase that the governor calls suppression. Cap Radio reporters Nicole Nixon and Sammy Caiola will explore this with me. LA Times reporter Ron Lynn, too. The Cap Radio special is next. Welcome to a Cap Radio news special. I'm Beth Ruyak. Just a few hours ago, California's governor did speak to the question that everyone's asking: when will the state's stay-at-home orders ease up? And he answered, sort of.
In 2 weeks, if we see a continued decline, not just flattening, but a decline in hospitalizations and ICUs, and we see this workforce and the infrastructure and PPE needs met, as we anticipate around May, first week in May, to start seeing the benefits and fruits of that, ask me the question then.
That's right. His answer was, ask me again in 2 weeks. What the governor did offer, with specifics from Dr. Sonia Angel, the state's health director, was a roadmap to modifying the order. Cap Radio's politics reporter Nicole Nixon is here, appropriately distanced across the room. Hi there, Nicole.
Hi.
So he worked on this with county health directors and with the governors, as he's been saying, of both Oregon and Washington. It was a step-by-step plan.
Right. It includes six main things. So these are the six things the state's looking at, the things the state is working on as we get to sort of moving toward reopening. One is expanding testing, something they've been talking about for a long time, reevaluating the state's infection for groups, especially those who are particularly vulnerable, the state's healthcare system, building up hospitals and making sure that they can meet the needs. This is an interesting one, developing therapies, and this is where a vaccine fits in. Floor plans, literally, for reopening businesses and schools to make sure that they can adhere to those social distancing guidelines. And last but really important is making sure that the state can fall back to stay-at-home orders and other controls like that if they need to. Yeah.
And that's where that point about suppression comes in, which he said is a crucial one. He's optimistically looking to that sixth step. So let's hear a little bit more about how he defined it.
There's no light switch here. I would argue it's more like a dimmer. And that dimmer is about what I was talking about, this toggling back and forth between more restrictive and less restrictive measures, more individual accountability.
So individual accountability means that he's really asking everyone to play their part. And that's critical right now when people might be getting itchy and excited about life going back to whatever that normal will be.
Yeah. And this is the message he's been giving for weeks now. The stay-at-home order, we're about to enter the fourth week of it. It was March 19th that he rolled that out. And again, he says the curve is flattening. It is working in California because people are staying home, but we can't get complacent. People need to keep it up, basically.
He said that science is going to drive this decision, that it won't be politics and it won't be public health, although both are partners in all of this, in his leadership team.
Right. It's a hard line for him and for the state to walk. You know, you have lives on the line. And they mentioned yesterday with this West Coast pact that definitely public health and facts and science would be the drivers of making these decisions. But at the same time, as he mentioned, things can't be like this forever. You know, the businesses have to reopen at some point, and people who are already in poverty are feeling the effects. And if the longer this goes on, the tighter that strain will be. So he gave the example, I'm sure we'll talk more about this a little later, about what restaurants will look like and how things will really look really different when these changes start to happen.
There were a lot of congratulations along the way. He kept saying, you have bent the curve in the state of California. You have done this. Now hold the line. Let's bring LA Times reporter Ron Lynn into this conversation. He's on the phone from LA. Hi, Ron.
Hey, how are you doing?
Glad to have you with us. Your article from yesterday and this morning gave a 2020 timeline. Did the governor say things today that surprised you in people you were speaking to about how the future might look?
No. In fact, he kind of echoed what the experts have been telling me about what we might envision. My experts just kind of gave me a more complete picture of what we might look at, including this idea that, you know, we're still seeing an increase in the number of hospitalizations and an increase in the number of people in the ICU, or it's flat. What we're really looking for is the start of a decline in new cases. And I talked with an expert who used to be an LA County health official, and he was thinking that maybe around the end of May or perhaps mid-June, we would start to see a decline in new cases, and then maybe sometime after that, looking at in the early summer, starting to gradually roll back some of the stay-at-home requirements.
Even though the governor uses the word modest now for the increases in hospitalizations and ICU beds that are used, California did cross today 25,000 positive cases, and the number of deaths is going up. So as you say, Ron, there is this really delicate balance, but maybe in describing how the future is going to look, there will be more of a reality check to everybody about the impact of this pandemic.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I was listening into a meeting of the Contra Costa County Board of Supervisors, and one of the things that one of the health officers said, referencing a quote from Winston Churchill, "This is not even the end of the beginning; it's the beginning of the beginning," and it underscores this reality that we just we're still 12 to 18 months away from a vaccine. And if we, and under the, even the optimistic scenarios, it's going to be a precarious time until we get there. And all the projections show from LA County, as well as other counties, show that if we ended the shelter in place order now, we would see a rise in cases pretty quickly within a matter of weeks. And so that's why, the health officials are saying, you know, when we start to roll things back, it's not an on or off switch, as you might have heard the governor say. It'll be more of a dimmer. And so some of the experts I've talked to, what they've said are things like, you know, maybe we would start reducing some things. Maybe some industries would go back to work first, maybe construction and then manufacturing, for example. And then maybe you would wait some number of weeks before you open up retail. And that way you would be able to adjust how much you dial back the shelter-in-place rules in order to make sure you're not going too far too fast.
Nicole, as you referenced, he talked about going to a restaurant that might have reopened. So let's listen to his description, because this is where it gets really, really specific.
You may be having dinner with a waiter wearing gloves, maybe a face mask, dinner where the menu is disposable, where the tables, half of the tables in that restaurant no longer appear, where your temperature is checked before you walk in to the establishment. These are likely scenarios as we begin to process the next phase and next iteration.
Whoa, I think we need to sit there for a moment and think about it and then apply that to business offices, to retail spaces, as Ron is saying. How are we going to change our schools?
Right. A couple things here. Dr. Angel, the director of the Department of Public Health, said that things will not go back to normal. People should not expect that things, you know, like that light switch flip on and off will just go back to how they were a month and a half ago. These changes will be very different for a while. The other thing that sticks out to me is these are things that places like China and South Korea have been doing for a while. And we may and probably will see some of these for a very long time in your regular life, grocery stores, restaurants, schools, and things that, like you mentioned, businesses will have to think about is how to implement these and how it will affect maybe their bottom line if you can only fit half as many people in your restaurant.
Ron, you talk to people about major sporting events. Of course, this might have been an opening day for baseball, and it's not. And the Tour de France decided today, for the first time ever, to postpone the race. So what about other fall sports?
Yeah, I mean, the Santa Clara County executive officer, who also happens to be a medical doctor, has already said that he thinks it would be lucky for Santa Clara County, which hosts the San Francisco 49ers, to have sports games by around Thanksgiving. And one of the reasons why he brings that up is that, you know, because of there being a lack of a national stay-at-home order, there are places in the country that may be more hot than we are. So he's concerned about someone flying in for a great football game coming in, but who is infected, and maybe he might reintroduce the coronavirus into our community. So that sent out a lot of thinking of how long-lasting, you know, the effects might be.
So you're in Los Angeles. The Bay Area Council issued a statement after the governor's plan saying that the framework for reopening California is thoughtful, smart, and measured, and that it rightly prioritizes public health and safety in deciding when and how to lift or modify the state's shelter-in-place order. And, of course, Nicole, that cluster of six Bay Area counties was the first to really go on the lockdown, shutdown, stay-at-home offensive against the spread of the virus and this disease.
Yeah, and you've seen that it's not spreading there as quickly as it is in other places like Los Angeles. So not really surprising to hear that from people in the Bay Area.
I saw a national news story over the weekend that was headlined, "Why isn't San Francisco having more problem with COVID-19? You know, kind of this stunned reaction. Did both of you notice, or either of you notice, that in the reporter part of the Q&A, three different questions by reporters used the word radical? Radical in reference to the testing kind of benchmark, radical in reference to funding for public health, also radical in reference to what we're talking about, the ways that daily life has changed.
Yeah, but if you think about it, life is radically different right now than it was 6 months ago. So it is a line to walk and a balance to keep of, again, keeping people safe and stopping this disease from spreading while allowing people to go back to work and live their daily life and keep their small businesses from dying.
I do want to let you know that at the same time we're bringing you this live special, the president is holding his press conference. He has asked for a halt of the funding of the World Health Organization, which he says has seriously and severely mismanaged and mishandled this pandemic. He called into one point what he said was the disastrous decision to oppose travel restrictions, and that the WHO must be held accountable for failing to invest and investigate reports in China back to December. Ron, as you report from many different angles, I wonder how much more of that early story about this pandemic we're going to learn as time goes by.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that always kind of strikes me that, you know, may have really saved the Bay Area and was a leading path for California was this image of this giant cruise ship coming into port. It was a very visual reminder for people in the Bay Area of the threat of the coronavirus coming in. And I think there were some health officials who were pointing out that, you know, perhaps the loss of the 49ers in the Super Bowl may have actually helped California in preventing a large mass gathering right as the virus was spreading.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have the hindsight to put the different pieces together. So the governor is saying that we are architecting a next phase. I don't know for sure whether he says we're in that suppression stage yet, Nicole, but certainly he's going to get all kinds of feedback right now on how to go forward, linking arms with two other states as well.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that this happened just hours after, again, yesterday morning, Trump said that he would be the one to decide when the economy would open and then and states would reopen. And then just a few hours later, you had this cluster of East Coast states band together. And then an hour later, three West Coast states. And again, Governor Newsom hinted today that maybe a few more West Coast states will join that pact as well. So they're all working together, and they all again said that they were going to prioritize public health and science in coming to these decisions about when to start opening things back up.
A bit more about on the other side, Ron, just a quick answer to this, but Dr. Tony Fauci and others have pointed to the other side of whether this is a bump, a spike, a surge, whatever, how steeply the decline might be on the other side. Would you say something about that?
Yeah, there are various models. Dr. Fauci has said that once you turn that corner and the decline goes, it goes quite rapidly, so that's helpful. In some places, in the East Bay of San Francisco, they've actually suggested that maybe we won't even see a surge. Maybe it'll just be a slow pace forward, and that'll be good.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Ron Lynn from the LA Times. I appreciate your help today, and take care.
Sure thing. Thank you.
And Nicole Nixon, you and I are sort of regulars here, so I know I'll see you again soon. Thanks very much for your help. You're listening to a CAP Radio News special. I'm Beth Ruyak. We're going to continue after a short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to this CAP Radio News special. I'm Beth Ruyak in Sacramento. California, with Oregon and Washington State, have devised a roadmap of benchmarks to hit before modifying the current stay-at-home orders. This would be a new phase of the COVID-19 battle that Governor Gavin Newsom is calling a time of suppression. So first on the list of six steps is the expansion of testing. California's Secretary of Health and Human Services Department, Dr. Mark Galley, said the state needs to move beyond testing only the sickest people to a level of testing tens of thousands of people per month.
And I think once we hit that level and we know that individuals who have symptoms can get tested and the results available rapidly, we'll be able to think about modifying these orders as Dr. Angel and the governor have laid out in a way that is responsible across the state.
By the way, there is still a backlog of 13,000 test kits to be processed. CAP Radio's healthcare reporter Sammy Kayola is joining me by phone right now. Hi, Sammy.
Hi, Beth.
So the governor's team created this plan in conjunction, he said, with county health directors. What's some of the reaction to it?
So as soon as this governor announcement wrapped up, I went ahead and called Sacramento and Placer, San Joaquin, a couple of other counties, and they are pretty much acknowledging that they're not out of the woods yet. They agree with all of Newsom's plans. They helped form them. But their next steps are going to be a little hairy. It's going to take a lot to sort of slowly release people back into society and keep an eye on them. It's a lot of strain. Graham Knauf, directs the California State Association of Counties, and he says it's going to be a challenge for local health departments.
County public health operates on a shoestring, and the laces have been fraying as we're responding to COVID-19. We urgently need significant and sustained support from the state and federal government to continue the communicable disease testing and the tracing and isolation as will be needed to further contain this.
And I will say that some counties have found pretty creative solutions to this. I know in Sacramento County, they've actually taken employees from environmental management and asked them to do some of the public health work. They've also got medical school students who are volunteering to do some of this testing and contact tracing. And that's going to be what's required if we're going to accept sort of a new level of risk by loosening these restrictions a little bit.
There was some...
Go
ahead, Sam. I was going to say there was some acknowledgement today that the current kind of tightly contained stay-at-home orders are really not sustainable and shouldn't be, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, we can't necessarily just wait it out. You know, I talked to epidemiologists this morning who said, you know, it's not realistic to stay quarantined until there's a vaccine, you know, a year and a half from now, or to wait until everyone can be tested. At some point, we are going to have to sort of move into another phase of this. And I think what's going to be really important for local health departments is messaging. You know, people might hear restrictions loosened and they might just go wild and do all of the things that they used to do. And Newsom even mentioned the sort of toggling back and forth between quarantine, and it is going to be confusing. So, you know, the Sac County health officials I spoke to are really, you know, worried about that, and they're really trying to make a plan to actually work with media like us to help people understand what is the current status, what are the rules right now.
It's like, is this a burn day or not a burn day, or is this a bad air day or a good air day? So what about hospitals, Sammy? How sustainable is this for them in the long term?
Hospitals have been through a whirlwind. I think we've all seen reports about, you know, extra ICU beds being pulled out, ventilators being obtained, protective equipment. They've really prepared for this influx. And fortunately, as we heard today, the hospitalizations are not climbing really the way we expected them to. So hospitals have been in this kind of hurry up and wait pattern, and they've canceled many of their elective procedures. They've told people to skip their regular appointments, their checkups, because they're saving capacity. But Beth, you mentioned sustainability before, and Newsom says that having the health system be on hold like this is actually not sustainable. It might cause other problems.
And if this were the new normal, those systems would be devastated in a way that would be difficult, even if there is a strong V-shaped recovery, to recover anytime soon. It could actually create more health problems down the road as we continue to delay elected surgeries that no longer become elected surgeries, or we're not doing our checkups and preventative work that ultimately become acute care issues.
And I'll add that this is also a financial issue for hospitals. Just like a restaurant that only has half its customers will be strained, a hospital is not going to be making income if they're not having patients. Some of these elective surgeries are really their lifeblood. And I've talked to hospital directors who are very concerned about the financial fallout of keeping this surge mode going for too long. But, you know, they know that under a suppression model, that this is still going to be a challenge, because when people are out and about, you know, more so than they are now most people are at home. When people are out and about, the infection risk is going to be higher. They're going to school, they're going to work. And even if those situations are modified, hospitals are acknowledging that there's going to be more infections, and we might see, you know, waves come and go. There might be a second wave of this or a third wave of this.
Right.
So hospitals have to figure out how to stay prepared while maintaining their normal functions.
I'm thinking about the number of events that have been pushed from this coming summer to the summer of 2021, but knowing we're not going to be fully out of the woods then either, what might next summer look like? And the key for all of this gets back to the number one of those six benchmarks today, and that is testing. And we'll need to say a lot more about this in the future, but that really expansive ability to test and get results right away is certainly not there yet.
Yeah, I did hear from Sacramento County this morning that they're able to do about 350 tests a day, and they're getting between 150 and 250 people a day. So they're not actually maxed out on tests, which I was really surprised to hear. So they're moving into actually publicizing their testing a little more widely. At first, they were really only offering it to healthcare workers, and now they're sort of looking to other groups of people who might be at risk to make sure that they're maximizing how much testing they can do.
We've come a long way. I remember talking to Dr. Peter Bielenson at the beginning. Sammy, remember when he was saying they could only test 10 to 12 people a week?
A week?
So Sacramento...
Yeah, no, I was thinking that too. It's been a huge change.
Sacramento County did say it's in agreement with the six indicators and steps outlined by the state, and probably had a hand in participating in with them. But as everything else, Sammy, just in the final seconds here, I can imagine that even this plan is going to evolve and change with more data and more science.
Yeah, we never know what's going to happen, and I am going to be staying tuned and talking to not just Sacramento, but also Placer, El Dorado, and Nevada counties to see what they're doing and how they're working together.
All right. Thank you so much, Sammy. Glad to have you with us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Beth.
That is Sammy Kaola, Cap Radio's healthcare reporter. And just to reiterate at the top, the governor did not say in 2 weeks the stay-at-home orders would be easing. He said, let's see how the next 2 weeks go and then ask me the same question in 2 weeks. So you can find out more about today's announcement by Governor Gavin Newsom and our ongoing coverage at capradio.org. Thanks to everyone who helped out with this special this afternoon, to Ron Lynn and to Nicole Nixon and Sammy Kaola and the team here at Cap Radio. This has been a special broadcast. Thanks for joining us.